the jury. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
Defendant, rise and face the jury. How do you find this defendant? Guilty or not guilty?
We find the defendant, Henry Harvey.
This is the thrilling new transcribed program called You Are the Jury, devised by the famous criminologist Roy Post. Here is your chance to actually take part in a jury trial without leaving your own living room. The chance to find out what kind of juror you would make. But first, let's hear a few words from that friend of yours, the jeweler. Now, you are the jury. All names and characters used in these dramatizations are fictitious, and any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. On January 12th last, Paul Landrieu, famous novelist, was alone in his penthouse studio working on the closing chapters of his newest book.
Oh, I've been stabbed.
Open the door. Henry, Alice, I'm afraid something's happened to Paul. He doesn't answer the door.
Paul! Please stop banging on that door. It's probably nothing at all.
Paul probably dozed off to sleep.
We couldn't have.
Oh, here's the elevator boy. Maybe he has a pass
key. Oh, yes. Oscar, have you a pass key? I left mine inside on the table with my compact and lipstick.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I got a pass key right here.
Well, hurry.
I'll have you to open in a jiffy. Yes,
hurry, please.
Dead. Paul's dead.
Henry Harper has been arrested for the murder of Paul Landrieu. And now to the crowded courtroom where the trial of the people versus Henry Harper is in progress. Be sure to listen carefully to all the details of the trial, for during recess, your local announcer will call out the names of the 12 jurors selected by your jeweler for tonight's trial, and your name may be among them. Henry Harper has repeatedly protested his complete innocence. He has insisted he would have absolutely no motive for murdering his former employer, that the tragedy was in fact a suicide. The state is confident that it can prove Paul Landrieu was murdered and by Henry Harper. As we jostle our way into the crowded courtroom, prosecuting attorney Graham is making his opening address to the jury.
Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the facts in this case are plain. They're almost too plain. And they all point to the fact that Henry Harper stabbed his employer, Paul Landrieu, to death, following a heated argument during which Landrieu let Harper know that the game was up. Harper had been caught red-handed, in a manner of speaking, with his hands in his employer's pockets. And the fact is plain that Landrieu accused Harper of diverting the proceeds from book and picture royalties to Harper's personal use. The state will prove to you that this defendant was the last person to see Landrieu alive, and the only one in the room with him. And, ladies and gentlemen, that proof is in your hands. As intelligent, conscientious jurors, you can return but one verdict, a verdict of guilty.
Mr. Defense Attorney, please proceed to make your opening address.
Very well, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen, you've listened to our eminent state's attorney tell you what he hopes to prove in this case. And I regret that I have to remind you that there's a vast difference between hoping and proving. I don't wish to steal our hard-working prosecutor's thunder so early in the trial, because it's apparent that Mr. Prosecutor has eagerly awaited his appearance before you today. In his eagerness, he has allowed himself to overlook one thing, that the state cannot prove that my client, Henry Harper, was the last and only person to see Paul Landrieu alive. We have indisputable proof to the contrary. I won't take up any more of your time for oratory. I think it's important to give you the facts. Facts which will give you the only answer consistent with fair play and truth. Facts which will convince you that the wrong man is on trial here today. I eagerly await the chance to give you those facts.
The prosecutor will call his first witness.
Call Mrs. Margot Landrieu to the stand.
Margot Landrieu, take the stand, please. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is truth, all truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your name?
Margot Landrieu.
And Mrs. Landrieu, you were the wife of Paul Landrieu?
Yes.
And Mrs. Landrieu, will you please tell the court what happened the night your husband was found dead?
Well, I had invited Henry Harper, my husband's business manager, and his wife, Alice, to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was unusually quiet during dinner. Soon after, Paul and Henry disappeared into the library to discuss some business.
Yes?
And Alice and I heard their voices several times raised in anger. Then Paul came into the studio, followed by Henry.
Henry, I don't wish to hear any more about it.
Oh, but Paul, why do you insist on misunderstanding? Now, I assure you I can explain everything.
Come, come, what are you two quarreling about? Come on, snap out of it. Let's all go somewhere and dance.
Impossible, Margot. You know, I promised to deliver a completed manuscript to my publishers by the end of the week.
Well, do you mind if Alice, Henry, and I go?
Go, go, please go, and leave me alone.
Yes, and what happened then, Mrs. Landrieu?
As Henry and Alice and I were leaving, Henry said, Margot, you and Alice go ahead. I'll be along in a minute.
And did you leave the apartment without the defendant, Henry Harper?
Yes. Alice and I waited for the elevator on the floor below.
And Mrs. Landrieu, you occupy the penthouse on the 21st floor, do you not?
That's correct.
And in order to reach the elevator, it would be necessary for you to walk down one flight of stairs to the 20th floor.
That's right.
Are there any other apartments on the 21st floor?
No. Ours is the only apartment.
And what happened while you were waiting on the 20th floor?
After a while, Mr. Harper joined Alice and me, and someone rang for the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Then I suddenly remembered that I'd left my compact, lipstick, and keys in the apartment upstairs. So I excused myself and ran up after them.
I see. When you returned for your keys, you found the door locked.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I rang the bell, but got no answer. Then I started pounding on the door.
Yes.
But Paul didn't answer.
Your Honor, it is apparent this witness is too overcome with grief to continue testifying. I therefore move for a short recess at this time.
Motion granted. Court declares a brief recess.
Court has now reconvened, and we find Mrs. Landrieu being cross-examined by the defense attorney.
Mrs. Landrieu, are you positive you didn't have your keys?
I'm certain. I wouldn't have had to return if I had had my keys.
Mrs. Landrieu, I understand that you and your guests were subjected to the indignity of being searched when the police arrived. Is that right?
Yes. I'd rather forget that, if you don't mind.
Immediately following your husband's refusal to accompany you to a nightclub, did he return to his typewriter?
That's right.
Thank you, Mrs. Landrieu. That's all.
Just a moment. And before you step down, I have a question, Mrs. Landrew. When you were searched by the police matron, were any keys found on your person?
No.
That's all, Mrs. Landrew. You may step down.
Oh, your next witness, Mr. Prosecutor.
Oscar Ford.
Oscar Ford to the stand.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is truth, whole truth, nothing but truth?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Your name?
Oscar Ford, yes.
Now, Oscar, I want to tell this court and jury what happened when you answered a call from the 20th floor shortly after 11 o'clock on the night Paul Landrew was found dead in his apartment.
Well, I got the buzzer signal on my trip up, and as I opened the door on the 20th floor, I saw Mr. and Mrs. Harper standing there. They didn't seem to notice me at first. Good evening.
Good evening, Oscar. Will you hold the elevator a second? Mrs. Landrew just went upstairs to get a key.
Yes.
Now, Oscar, what did you find when you opened the door with your pass key?
Well, we all rushed into the room, and there was poor Mr. Landrew lying on the floor with a knife sticking in his back.
A knife in his back. Now, you're sure the knife was sticking in his back?
Yes, sir, and I saw it with my own eyes.
You saw it with your own eyes. All right, that's all, Oscar.
Can I go now?
Well, the attorney for the defendant may have some questions to ask you.
Yeah.
Your witness?
Oscar, did you overhear Mr. Landrew typing?
Yes. I could hear that old rattle-bang typewriter down on the 20th floor. It sounded almost like a machine gun, yes.
Oscar, on the night of the murder, at the time you brought your car up to the 20th floor and found Mr. and Mrs. Harper waiting, did you hear Mr. Landrew typing?
Well, no. Come to think of it, I did, yes. I remember saying to myself, I guess the boss is just knocking out a new one.
I see. You're sure you heard Mr. Landrew typing at the time I have indicated?
Yes, sir. I'm positive. Well,
thank you, Oscar. Thank you very much.
Your Honor, in view of the evidence just presented, the prosecution feels that it would be a miscarriage of justice to prolong this trial any further. The prosecutor therefore asks for a dismissal of the charges against the defendant on the ground that it has been clearly shown that Henry Harper did not commit the crime. However, Your Honor, I ask that a bench warrant be issued for someone in this courtroom. That someone...
Henry Harper has been vindicated, but who is the guilty person? Remember, that person is present in the courtroom. Who could have committed this brutal crime? You will learn the correct verdict on the next broadcast of You Are the Jury. This is Dan Seymour speaking. You Are the Jury was produced by the Trans-American Broadcasting and Television Corporation.